Amen. In a little while, we're going to be going home. A lot sooner than most even realize. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to begin with prayer. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you again for this Sabbath day. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, especially during the testimony hour. Thank you so much for these Sabbaths that bless us all throughout each and every week. And thank we're going to be able to do so in eternity as well. It's a blessed day, Father. We thank you for it. And thank you for your presence when we are gathered here. And for all the answered prayers, especially in regards to helping us get ready for the latter rain. We are seeing some amazing things, Father. Oh, we just can't wait, though. We're very impatient, and we need to be patient. And so thank you, Father, for giving us ample time to be ready. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that were put in during the children's study as well as now. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with that latter rain when it finally comes. And we offer this prayer and all the praises that we're going to be sharing in a half an hour or so unto you in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. For those of you on the stream, I think I figured it out. For some reason the stream, because I use a little monitor, I use a little Raspberry Pi, and those things are very, very touchy, I guess. And so if that starts showing, you know, stream issues, because it was going on and off, on and off, on and off, you know, and I figured I couldn't find it. I tested the upload. Everything was fine. So I just rebooted the streamer. That's one of the beauties of not being on YouTube. You can't just reboot it, because if you do, you lose the stream completely. Okay, what's all this here? Okay, let's see. Okay, yeah, this will be, see, I'm going to have to write this. Well, no, I'm going to copy and paste this one. Don't send me the praises yet, brothers and sisters, through the PMs, because then I'll think it's an alert, you know, that something's happening. But I am going to write this one, or I'm going to copy and paste this one down that I just got from the brother. In that way, because if you send it now and then I look at the text that you sent me, it goes into the pile. And if you saw my left side of my screen, I've got upwards of 20 or 30 PMs from people, and I can't. There's no way I'm going to be able to remember who sent me the, testimony in a PM. But I will be checking them later. Of course, when we start the testimony service. That's one of the beauties of not having YouTube anymore for streaming anyway. And the Lord just reminded me of another praise that I'm going to share. So let me write that down before we start. Okay. All right. Okay. This Sabbath, let's look at how the elect is defined in the Word of God, as well as a few other things. Now, there are many different ways to approach this, and so I may go a bit here and a bit there in regards to how we can know the elect. I mean, we can know in our own hearts. Paul even said we can have full assurance unto salvation. And so if we have full assurance unto salvation, we already know we are part of the elect, because certain things, yeah, it just doesn't get past us. We don't fall for all the idiocies that are going on in the world. all the lies, all the false prophecies, the false prophets, the apostasy. Yeah, we know what we're looking at, and it shocks us that people that claim to be Christians can't see it. And so that it's not an issue for us, you know, to know we are of the elect, but to see if someone is of the elect, it's kind of nice to know the fruits that we got to be looking for, so as to prevent issues in the future. You know, like especially now, this is going to be a really, really big test for a lot of people in the coming days, especially when we're on the run, because if the Pope gets his way, we're going home in 9 years. If the Pope actually gets his 2031 world government, that literally means we're going to be in New Jerusalem in, what, 9 years. And so you got to be prepared for this. And that also means in, what, 2 or 3 years? I don't know. The loud cry is going to go forth, because it's going to take them a little while to try to shut us up. Because after the loud cry, of course, is they enforce the mark. Satan shows up, acts like he's Jesus, and they try to shut us up because we're emptying their churches. Well, we're not doing it. The truth we present does it. And so, again, I might go a little bit off here and there, but all these truths lead to one thing. Salvation in Christ, wherein down to the core of the heart, the soul is one with Christ, where they refuse to step away from the Lord Jesus no matter what, knowing, doing so, because they know doing so is a, you know, spiritual adultery and very deadly to the soul. But the things that I was talking about in regards to, like, when we're on the run, how can it actually get kind of like a big test? Let's say you have siblings. Let's say you have children. Let's say you have a spouse that doesn't believe the way you believe, and they're not part of the remnant or the elect. And when it comes down to the probation beginning at plague number one, or ending at plague number one, and I could just see someone taking what I just said, editing it out, and making it look like I said the probation begins or something. But it ends. We know. Because that's happened before. People love to attack us that way and take us out of context. But you might have somebody that you think... Well, see, that's another thing, too. Being part of the Gideon Band, if you're part of that number, you're going to have the discernment you need to know the person that claims to be a Christian and is part of your gathering when you're on the run to go out into, like, a cave or the forest, or even into the wilderness, like the mountains and whatnot, like the Waldenses. You're going to know that this person is not real, and you can't take the chance and have them with you, because it's just not going to work. They're going to get fearful, and then someone's going to approach them, and they're going to, like we say in today's lingo, they're going to drop a dime on you. Well, actually, they said that in the 1960s, right? Drop a dime. You can't. Well, now, no, there's no more payphones anyway, but when I was growing up, it was drop a quarter, because phone calls got more expensive. But the they'll let you out. They'll let people know where you're at. The people that want to kill us, they'll let them know where we're at. And so you got to love Christ more than them. And this is what's awful, also very, very difficult when it comes to people that have left the faith, be it people that are, you know, just sitting in the pew, to those people that are standing on the pulpit. It's very, very difficult. We can't have partiality. You got to love Jesus more. And boy, they'll go after you for that. But that's fine. That's fine. It's not like that's never happened before. So even in the midst of all the craziness of today and the tenfold craziness of tomorrow, we can still hear his voice deep within, because we love him and he loves us. And as David declared in the midst of his own turmoil, he stated in Psalm 42, Psalm 42, verse 7, deep calleth unto deep. He said that for a reason. And just as John the Apostle, who while he was on Patmos in the midst of his turmoil, I mean, come on, bad enough it was, it's kind of like, I'm surprised they don't do that today. And I'm sure they might even do it later on. I mean, they use concentration camps or quarantine, you know, areas, what do they call quarantine, to separate people and stuff like that. But in their day, back then, they just put people on an island to get them away from the whole situation, like life, people that are going to be putting in prison for life kind of a thing. They don't put them in the regular lockups and dungeons and whatnot during Roman days, because they didn't have an awful lot of facilities, so they just put them on an island, Patmos Island. The problem was, it was a leper colony. But John never got leprosy, praise the Lord, so obviously. And so in the midst of all his turmoil, he could still hear the voice of the Lord, to the point we have an in-depth book describing the prophetic events of the last 2,000 years right up to what happens when our Lord returns, as well as 1,000 years later even. You know, and he even goes into detail in regards to each plague. And so this ability to hear the Lord's voice without so much as hearing a single audible word is only that which the elect can understand. No, we don't expect a voice each and every time. And because most don't hear that voice, that doesn't mean you haven't heard it in the past, because your reaction to the voice makes your fruit known to all he sends your way anyway. You know, you might not know, like when my wife and I left the city and we brought the kids. We didn't know we were supposed to leave. The Lord did, and we didn't hear an audible voice, but somehow he got us out of the city. And so how many of us recall something that happened years ago or even last week that until a certain Bible verse lights up right before your eyes when you're in study, as well as lights up before your heart, that you had no clue as to why you were led in the direction you were led in until you saw in his word that this was his will all along? What I mean is, and I was just thinking about this earlier too, you know, I recall as when I was a young man in my early 20s, I couldn't put computer magazines down. I always would go shopping with Fran for food, right? And she would go around getting the stuff, I would say 80-90% of the time, and I'd go right to the magazines. And that's where she'd find me, because I'd be just reading the computer magazines, because I figured, you know, where's the sense? And I mean, I would buy some too if they had good code in them. Because, you know, sometimes you can actually, especially with the basic language, you can actually get programs inside these magazines. But what I liked was, you know, other things in regards to how computers worked and whatnot. I just saw a flicker on the stream. Hope it's okay. So if I have to, I'll reboot the stream again, and I'll get with the people that where the server's sitting, because if I have to, I'll get a complete refund if I have to get off that server. And so, but anyway, I did all I knew to do with the computers and had no clue as to why it was so important for me to learn how to use them by buying all those magazines, because I never went to college, you know, for this stuff. It was like a hobby. That's all it was. I just got into it. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized that the Lord was the one that put that desire in my heart so that I would build a website to share his word to many later in my life, and at the same time allow others to help share the word as well, because I'm not the only one that hits the mic here. And so I was talking, as a matter of fact, with one of my daughters last month about how she got a job as a delivery driver years ago, so that now, as an EMT that often drives the ambulance, she now knows all the streets of the city inside and out, thanks to the job she really didn't like years ago. The Lord knew where he was going to put her, and so he had to have her, you know, familiarize herself with the streets. And some of you have had desires in your early lives that now play a very major part in how you share your faith to this day. Some of your testimonies and stuff. And it's not so much that it's a testimony that you only mention once, like what we do on, you know, Testimony Sabbath once a month. We share what the Lord's done in the last 30 days. But some of the testimonies are life changers. And so you might mention them repetitively, because like with people you just meet on the street and whatnot, you know, like that, because it's that good to the point where it can help them. And this is why I like to keep a praise list too, so as to look back from time to time to see how certain trials I went through, which were very hard to understand the reason behind them, that I was going through them until long after I walked through it, and then I finally saw the blessing I gained by living through it and staying obedient. And yeah, there were times that I didn't stay obedient. Like, I still got upset or angry, let's say, because I had a lot of tests in that area, I got to say. And so because I kept failing the test had to be repeated. And, oh, man, it took me... I hate it when I... Because that's when you become your own worst enemy. You're causing the problems yourself because you're just not learning. You're not listening to the Lord. And so as we live in this end-time society wherein the powers that be are hell-bent on, you know, on doing everything Satan wants them to do so as to mark his victims for hellfire or persecute and even kill those that refuse to bow to his lies and worship him, you know, as well as lock down his long-prophesied global obedience or New World Order, as a lot of people call it, or One World Government, as Daniel was more or less alluding to, as well as John. And so just as my desire to learn computers or my daughter's delivery job, in both scenarios, the Lord moves all of us to an expected end so as to to make it through the trials, if and you know that he has us go through. I mean, we need to make sure because we got to do our part. So we need to make sure that we are on the path that will lead to perfection if we are ever to be considered to be part of the elect. Anyway, I mean, in fact, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10-11. I just saw the stream just went hiccuped again, but it came back pretty quick. So I'm gonna have to get with those because this is not on my end. I've already tested all my stuff. So anyway, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says this. Am I in the room? Oh, no, I'm not even in the room. I'm in a private message for Joe. So, okay. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Okay, something's up here. It's not showing. Oh, I got a... Oh, wow, I'm way behind. There we go. Now I could see. Thanks, Brother Sean. I could just now I saw that he put it in there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Welcome there, Sister Destiny. All right. I just noticed her comment that I was looking there. But yeah, 2 Peter 1, verses 10 to 11 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And what will be our reward for doing these things? Well, verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You know, the entrance. You know, New Jerusalem, Revelation 22:14 kind of a thing, you know, where it says you can't get in the city unless you keep his law. Yeah, a lot of people seem to ignore that one. But just as certain things are brought forth in life by our Father so as to better prepare us for the things in the future, we can do things to assure we will make it home to heaven as well. We got to, you know, do our part. And no, this is not about works, because we know the flesh cannot gain heaven. So it's a big old waste of time to do works, because we're not going to have this flesh in heaven. We're going to have a new flesh, a new immortal body. And so all we need to do is study his word and pray to him as the patriarchs and prophets of old did, so as to not have a spiritually weak walk. You know, better yet, we would have a spiritually peaceful walk in life. And plus, we will also learn of his will much clearer, because each day we study his word, our faith and wisdom grows to where we're going to be worthy even more of more blessings. So that which most people would be extremely frightened to perform, you know, like lay on a guillotine if need be. Our peace and our courage, especially when you're, let's say, you know, the loud crowd, you're partaker of the loud crowd, you're going forth. You don't have to be in the Gideon band to do that. All Bible-believing Christians, obedient Christians, are going to take part in the loud cry. Instead, some of them aren't strong enough to go through the plagues of Revelation. Just 144,000 are going to be able to do that. And so you may have to lay on a guillotine, and or just die in your sleep or whatever. There's all these different ways that the Lord allows people to take a nap before he gets here. And so, but our peace and our courage is going to be so far off the chart that, like so many millions of Christians before us, 500 million in fact, you know, thanks to the Vatican killing them all, we will gladly die for the Lord on the day he calls us to, for we know in so doing is a blessing as well as an amazing way to glorify him. I mean, need I remind you of how many people found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after watching the popes of Rome killing the Christians? As a matter of fact, I was listening to, I can't remember the, because I was watching this preacher to see if he was saved, and it turns out there is issues, or there are issues. But the fact is, Satan, he used a lot of spirit of prophecy too, which was kind of nice, but it was edited. Although this one quote wasn't, in regards to how Satan realized, and we realized this too just by looking in history, that killing 500 million Christians that the Vatican was doing, you know, burning them at the stake, putting them in the brazen bull, the you know, or in the Iron Maiden, or in the, what is or burying him alive, you know, drawn, quartering him, torturing him, whatever. More Christians were becoming, you know, more people were becoming Christians because they were seeing how some people were actually. I mean, you got to think. I mean, they're looking for God like all over the place back then. But it's the Dark Ages. The Vatican has removed all the Bibles and translated them into Latin so nobody can understand them. And they would chain them on pulpits where you literally stand on your tiptoes to try to read them. And so no one really knew. But when they saw someone with faith, they wanted to meet Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's how I found Christ. I mean, okay, granted, I was, you know, 8, 9 years old, walking around in prayer, he's talking to him, but I really didn't know him or even really seek him out or understand that I should until I was an adult. And at that time, I looked and watched other Christians that I knew had life-changing conversions that were like, whoa, off the chart, you know? And so I know the mindset of the person standing there in a little village watching Huss, for example, singing while his body's on fire. And so, yeah, I could say, yeah, I want to meet his Jesus, you know, because the one that Rome is teaching me, you know, he's killing people. He's a tyrant. He puts people in purgatory for millions and millions and millions of years just so we can stand in his presence. And we're going to be screaming the whole time. Yeah, I want to meet this guy's Jesus because he's singing in this fire, and he preached the Jesus that this Pope don't like. And so today, there are many, and I mean many, people out there that claim to be the followers of Christ. But ask them one question, and you will find they have not the faith to stand firm when certain comforts, creature comforts, or even life itself is threatened. And I have talked to many people over the years, and all of them have told me that if someone was to threaten to kill them for their faith, they would die without a second thought, as many of us would too, myself included, right? No big deal. Because I know, hey, it's not like you're... It's a major threat. I mean, we all go to sleep at night, so death's nothing different than that. It's just like all of a sudden you're no longer aware of your existence, because the dead know not anything. It's just like a dreamless sleep, right? But I know at the end of the sleep, I'm going to wake up and ascend into heaven. And because you don't have any concept of time in the grave, it's like you grabbed your chest one day, and then a split second later, you're ascending. You don't know, like King David doesn't, when he gets up, he's not going to know he was laying in the grave for thousands of years. He's going to think, whoa, I just dropped dead a few seconds ago, and now I'm ascending, as far as he's concerned. But when you ask these people that said that they'll die without a second thought, when you ask them, would you let them kill someone you love right before your eyes unless you receive the mark? And 100% of them said no. They would receive the mark to prevent the death of their loved one, that they actually thought God would be pleased with them on that decision, even though Jesus clearly said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus said that for a reason, because he knows how Satan works. Satan will always use those closest people to us to try and move us into his charred trophy case. A perfect example of that are my 10 siblings, for example, where some of them left the Catholic Church, as my wife and I did before them. But because many family members pleaded with them with the lovey-dovey, huggy-kissy thing, you know, or even ridiculed them to come back or made jokes about them, they all came back. All of them. Now, three of them did actually leave the Roman Catholic Church, but they joined the Protestant churches. Those churches are not actually Protestant at all. None of them, not even the SDA church. They're not Protestant. The SDA church has given tithings to the Pope. I mean, they're not Protestant anymore. Satan gave them an easy way out so as to make them believe they are safe outside Catholicism when, in fact, they are deeper in the trap. They think they are actually safer. You know, being students of prophecy, we know that climate change is, in fact, how the man of sin in Rome plans to enforce the mark. I'm not going to get into all that. I got a big, huge page with probably a dozen videos on it all about this, and so I don't have to cover it here. And because Satan will only have one chance at this thing with the climate change, he is going to do all he can to ready the people to get used to doing as he commands. The elect, not going to have an issue with it. Not at all. You know, we're not going to bow to any of this stuff, you know. The masks, for example, were just a simple test to see how easily the masses could be manipulated. And no, the masks aren't going to damn you to hell. But it is a way to see, for the government to see, who will allow them to lure some people, or Satan looks at it to say, like, who is in this bunch that I can get to lure into damnation by his next step? That being, of course, the vaccines. I just saw somebody sent me a video, and there's like 10 or 15 people with all this, their whole body shaking all over the place. That destroys your life for the rest of your life. You can't work anymore. You can't even sit to have a meal. It's worse than Alzheimer's. Your whole body's jerking all over the place. You want to take a chance and get that? I think death would be easier. You know, just take the vaccine, faint like that nurse did on TV. Or online, we don't have a TV, but she died. And they, of course, didn't let anybody know about that, but yeah, there's a video out there proving. They even showed the funeral stuff and everything. But we can look at the lies that Satan preaches in the churches, wherein anyone with a Bible can prove to be false theology, like everything from Sunday, Sabbath, to eternal life and hellfire. I mean, billions of people on the planet know that... Now we know being the elect, we understand the false theology of Sunday, Sabbath, and hellfire. But there's billions of people on the planet that also know that the COVID-19 virus has a 99.9% survivor rate. And just a few days ago, the CDC again announced that less than 6% of the AMA, where the AMA is saying the people died of the COVID, only 6% of them actually died. And yet again, the Vatican-controlled media will not speak of that in the mainstream at all. The documentation's out there. It's all over on the alternate media. And because they don't they don't speak of it, the sheeple, the world over, believe the millions of people died when in fact 94.5% of them died of everything from cancer to heart disease. And yes, the empty hospitals do in fact cause even more deaths because they can use the doctors... in other words, they can use the fact that the hospitals are empty by preventing the doctors from actually seeing patients. And so more people are dying because they can't get to the doctor. Remember what we were saying years ago? I can remember it's like this was yesterday because this was years ago. But for some reason, I can't remember stuff from yesterday. But remember when I stated years ago that all of us can walk into any small town out here or anywhere where you're at and... you can't toss a stone without hitting somebody that's sick in these little towns. In the big towns, forget about it. You can throw a whole bag of rocks and, you know, you're going to hit all sorts of people that are sick. And they need to be healed. But many are going to be unable to afford to see a doctor thanks to long-term plans of, like, Obamacare, which Biden's bringing back in. And the rest, which amazes me, too. Trump didn't shut it down completely. You know? But then it's all part of the same political theater. And so, a lot of people won't go, they can't do the doctor thing with Obamacare because instead of paying like $100 or $200 a month, they want $1,000 or $2,000 a month. Seriously, it was Affordable Care Act. That's the original name of it. Affordable Care. On what planet? I'm not sure, but it ain't this one. And the rest of the people simply fear going to the doctors because... of the way the doctors are killing people. Or I mean, look at the ventilators when the so-called COVID thing was hitting. And it's no mistake that when that huge ship came in on the eastern seaboard, as well as the western seaboard, filled with 2,000 beds, not a single person was sent there. Why? Because military doctors aren't like the AMA. They're not going to play these political games. They're not going to, you know, clamor after the $13,000 every time someone dies to, you know, declare them dead of COVID, and they're not going to clamor after the $39,000 if they put them on a ventilator, which kills them, because they already got a problem breathing. They can't get the proper, you know, influx of oxygen with the elderly, you know, because COVID's real, but it's not. It's like if you're old and weak, yeah, it can kill you, just like a flu can kill you, just like anything else, you know. But, yeah, I don't want to go there. And because many people believe the lies and fear the lack of medical care, you know, and getting the vaccine makes them think at least they're going to be a little bit better off being jabbed, even though many are going to get even sicker and die from the vaccine, no one else is able to see the forest for the trees on this. Confusion and fear are everywhere. Yet the elect, we have the perfect peace, knowing our King is coming soon. But the fact of the matter is, we can step forward and go out there in faith, especially when that latter rain starts falling, and we're going to see things happening that the apostles didn't see. Because there are a lot of people out there that need to be healed. That is our major foot in the door in the coming days. I remember years ago when I was cutting a 45-minute section of our lawn at 12 miles an hour. That's how long it takes for that section. It was like it was only 5 minutes because I went into prayer like I usually do, but this time it was an intense prayer about repeating, like he kept on reminding me of when you lay hands on the people, say, go and sin no more. And did you know, just last year, which was only a couple of months ago, they made it illegal to say, to use those terms in the UK, go and sin no more. And I saw, and that's what snapped me back when I looked at my praise list, because I wrote that stuff down. I don't just put my dreams in my praise list, right? And yeah, and so soon we're going to be going out, brothers and sisters. I mean, and so, but still, the other toss of the coin on all this is that it allows the powers that be to poison the people. Most are getting the vaccine to keep their jobs, and you know, that vaccine, as deadly as it is not just a way to cultivate customers for them or for the AMA or even the funeral homes. It is also a way to get the people to do something they know is wrong to do so as to keep their livelihood, because the word is out that they are making plans to prevent certain buying and selling with it, without it, without getting the vaccine. And like passports or entry into some businesses, and all government buildings. Well, I don't know about the vaccine, but I know you can't get a government building without, or even a transportation. And a homosexual is running the transportation for all of the U.S. now. Buttigieg, whatever his name is. They're doing this test to see how effective it's going to be when the buy and sell portion of the market is enforced. But most don't know that because they don't study Bibles. See, this is one of those things that it's not just a lot of people look at the Bible study as a chore. No, it becomes like you can't wait to wake up in the morning to read the Bible. It's exciting, especially now with everything that's happening. You're seeing, whoa, how did, it's just amazing. And but the thing is, this is right out of Hitler's bag of tricks, where in New York, they're passing a bill to place people in camps that they deem to be sick enough, though they don't appear to be sick at all. They're quarantining healthy people, regardless. You come into New York, and if you're coming from out of state, regardless if you look sick or even sick or not, you got to sit 2 weeks in some place. That's what Hitler did, and that's how, but once he got the Jews in these camps, if you will, for health reasons, because that's how it went down, he didn't let them out, as we all know. They just let them, most of them starved to death, and of course he killed the rest. And that is why COVID-19 test is designed to offer the powers that be to choose who they deem to be sick. If you're a problem for them, yeah, you're going to be COVID. You're going to be positive. I mean, look at that one president, I can't remember which country it was. He used the COVID test on everything from a avocado to to a quart of oil, and had positive responses. It's a bogus test. It's just part of controlling the people. I mean, everything is being set up right now, if you look at it, for facial recognition to COVID IDs. And that all works together with the contract tracing. Yeah, many people forgot about that. Those people are still getting $20 an hour. They're still out there. As a matter of fact, they got a Bluetooth app right now that you can have on your phone so that when you walk into a big box store, let's say, it'll throw off an alarm letting you know that someone's in the aisle with you that has COVID or has been diagnosed or recently was diagnosed or whatever. I kid you not. Now, all you got to do is just switch it from COVID to hasn't received a mark yet or hasn't agreed to Sunday laws yet, let's say. They're not going to call it the mark, obviously. And so they've been doing this for months. And by the way, I'll share that later. Like I was saying, if they just change all of this, and see, this is one of the beauties of being part of the elect. we know what we're looking at. We know that all of this is just designed so that everything's in place, so that when they change everything from, you know, using track or contact tracing and inoculation, you know, like the vaccines, it'll make it that much easier for them to track the Christians. The warning in Revelation 13:11 is so much more clearer now, right? It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." We are all alive right now because the Lord knew we would be able to do as he created us to do, so don't let what they're doing scare you at all. You know, believe the promise of that peace that Christ promised you. In fact, open your Bibles daily, and the Holy Spirit will change your fear to excitement, because now you know all that's happening clearly means Jesus is coming a lot sooner than anyone realized. And like I said earlier, if the Pope gets his way, you know, for the enforcement of the mark to begin in 2027 and then the one world government of 2030, which he has to have to make the death decree legal worldwide. That's called the 1 hour with the beast, when they're legally able to kill us, or Armageddon, as prophecy calls it, and they surround us for those 15 days. That's supposed to happen in 2030, which just so happens to be the exact same year that a comet named Encke is headed towards this planet. It won't hit us, but its tail will. And in the tail is a 20-mile-long, well, this is what they're saying, it could be bigger, but a 20-mile-long chunk of hail. What's Plague 7? Hail, right? And so, if this all goes down, and this is all within our Father's timeline, and you know, and Satan's, because of his telescope in Arizona named Lucifer, that's owned by the Vatican, they're pointing right at the Orion Nebula. And so, if it all goes down exactly, you know, in other words, if this is our Father's timing, it could be 2027, 2028, 2029. Who knows? I'm hoping 2029, because that way we're only going to have 1 year if they get their 2030 thing. To deal with that we can't buy and sell. And then we'll have, of course, be on the run for another year, because the Bible says the plagues fall within a day. So within a year, doesn't mean in a whole year, but within a year. But then you look at the book of Esther, and that went down for an exact, to the day, very day, 1 year. You know, from 13th day of the first month to the 13th day of the 12th month. You know, that Haman thing when he threw the dice and says, okay, we passed the decree. Well, that's what we would call today, you know, a bill. He called, you know, like in their day, it was a decree, and then, but then it can't be enforced the same day it's passed, because you have to give a time allotment for the people to be ready for it, regardless if you're evil or not. They still do that, and but it fell on a year for Haman, and we know the prophecy says that the plagues fall within a day, and a day equals a year. So, but still, it doesn't matter. If you're alive during that time, you're part of the Gideon band, and so it's not going to be a fear issue. What your main concern is going to be, like Isaiah said, we're undone. He's coming for us, and we're not ready. We feel like we're not ready, but we are. It's just that, you know, Satan's still going to be unrelentingly, you know, making you feel like you're scum of the earth because you're doing the right thing. And so we have all seen this in our own lives. I saw a craving for computer tech given unto me by the Lord decades ago so that I could do the work I do now. And so I look at all that's happening now so I can do the work he needs me to do before, during, and after the enforcement of the mark. What we're all going through right now is what we need to go through to be able to handle it when a latter rain falls. And so, like it says in Revelation 3 again, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I mean, at the last minute, could you? It would be crazy to give up and just say you can't take it anymore and walk away from the Lord. And then what? 30 days later, the eastern sky splits. Oh, no. Plague number one starts. Because you won't even bother making that decision after the plagues begin. It just won't matter to you at all, because whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust. So if you haven't accepted Christ by then, you're part of the unjust. But all of us need to look at what's coming as an amazing calling and blessing as well, because our God, our Savior, our Creator, our King needs us to stand up and do what he asks us so that he is glorified and millions of precious souls will hear the truth and make it home to heaven. All their social distancing, all their vaccine-laden passports, and all their, you know, prevention, like you know, lockdowns and stuff like that. Satan's doing everything he can to stop the loud cry. That's all that's for. He's trying to prevent it. But what he obviously failed at, and all the people, all these so-called Christians, the Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1s, and their many false prophets they call pastors, they've all missed this one key point. The Lord has us scattered in every nation on earth. We're not in one single solitary brick and mortar building where we'll have to go and travel to go and spread the word. We find out, you know, all of a sudden one day we're in a church building that we've had for decades, and we're all one denomination, and we declare, oh wow, the latter rain is falling upon us, and now we got to go out and says, whoops, none of us are going to take the vaccine, and we know it, so now we can't get a passport. And, oh, man, you know, the social distancing or whatever, you can't, the lockdown, whatever. It's not going to stop us, because all we got to do is step out of the wherever we're living and preach and teach and share and warn the people. We're already where we're supposed to be. Some of us are going to be blessed to be in that number of this, I am sure. And some of us are going to be blessed to die for the Lord. Of this, I am also sure. That being the case, notice what the prophet Jeremiah was moved to declare in Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to close with this. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 15, it says, 11 to 15, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, like when I was learning about computers, or my daughter was driving around as a delivery driver, or whatever things that the Lord had you do decades ago, brothers and sisters. You did those things because he needed you to do what you're doing now. And he's letting you go through things right now because he's going to need you to do something tomorrow, or next year, or 5 years from now. We don't know. Verse 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." That right there, I could end it. It's all, you know, there's reasons now the prayers take a little while to answer at point at some point, but during this time, yeah, it's going to be considerably different, and I can't wait for that. And then verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." And you can't do that without studying the Bible, right? You just can't. I mean, how good of a relationship would you have with your spouse if you said, "Hey, I'll see you next year," every year? You know. In other words, how good of a relationship would you have with Christ if you read his Bible and says, "Okay, see you next year"? Yeah, you're not searching for him with all your heart, and so you're not. Your prayers aren't going to be heard because you don't even know how to pray, for that matter. And so verse 14 says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you." Okay, we're scattered for a reason, brothers and sisters. You know, this is why I was saying, you know, like when they started this social distancing thing and all that, I remember Jeremiah saying, they're trying to stop us from going out and do the work, but we've never ever clamored in one spot. We're the remnant people. We're supposed to be scattered all over the world. We're not. It's just like what went down in the midnight cry. Even Sister White says that. You know, the way the midnight cry went down is how the loud cry goes down, and that's how it's organized. And what church went forward during the midnight cry? Right? There was no denomination. The SDA church didn't even start until what, 1876, I think it was? And the midnight cry was, you know, decades before that. And so what we're doing right now is an exact duplicate of what they did. The only difference now is there's no mistake. The shock of William Miller thinking it was going to go down in 1843 and, of course, fixing it later because he messed up with the 0 year and figured 1844. We have no... And that was a prophesied mistake. They can't go out there and say, "Oh, he's a false prophet and all this other stuff." And you know, no, that was prophesied to happen for a reason. But what we're looking at right now, there's no mistakes, none whatsoever. We know what's coming, and we're not going to misunderstand anything. And so again, "I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon." I mean, look around. The Pope has control over every nation on earth right now, either by agreement or by conquest. And that means all of us are standing in Babylon right now. He's been controlling the U.S. of A. since they started building streets in the forms of pentagrams in D.C. And so he's had that control here. I mean, it's the second beast of Revelation. And so praise his name. Soon, brothers and sisters, we're going to be flying in New Jerusalem. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.